Hey, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. Today I want to share a 60-second radio message about why we should honor our mothers on Mother's Day, even if for some the word mother brings up some bad memories. The 60-second radio message is fast-paced because there is a time limit for radio, but after the message I will have a lot more time to explain why we should honor our mothers, even if. And at the end of this podcast, I have another exciting story to tell you about on what happened this past week that's a direct result of your contributions, your support, and your prayers. And also, there's some question among Christians about the celebration of Mother's Day in reference to the Bible, and I'll have a few words on that topic for you as well. Now, here's the radio message. The founder of Mother's Day was Miss Anna Jarvis, a teacher in the class that her deceased mother had taught. On May 12, 1907, Anna passed out carnations to this class in honor of her mother. Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard from TreasureTop.com. Here's the impact of what a mom can do. In the New Testament, there was a great pastor named Timothy who pastored the Ephesian church. And where did Timothy get his start? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. End quote. We owe a lot to our mothers. None of us had a perfect mom, but Father, we honor our moms because you chose them to create each of us. We know for many, Mother's Day is a difficult day, and we ask you to comfort those with heartaches today. And we also thank you for Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and podcast at treasuretop.com. Let's take a look at what it really means when we talk about honoring mothers on Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day is a day to express our love and gratitude to all the mother figures in our life, including our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and aunts. But I think the true significance of Mother's Day, in a sentence, is God used your mother to bring you into this life because He has a specific purpose for you, as He does for all of us. God knew the exact DNA He needed to create a unique you. You know, people say there may be some like you, but there is no one who is a carbon copy of you. Even identical twins are not identical. Have you ever noticed that? Just a little bit of difference on how they act or what they say. Though very similar, they're still just a little bit different. And by the way, did you know that God knew you before He used your mom to create you? David the psalmist in Psalm 139:13 in the NIV Bible says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5 wrote down what the Lord said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You know, that's really something. God knew us before we were even formed, because He has a very specific purpose for all of us. God had that very specific purpose for Jeremiah, who lived about 600 years before the birth of Christ. Jeremiah was the prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah in the Old Testament, right before Judah ultimately fell to Babylon and was led away into captivity. God sent Jeremiah to this crumbling nation to warn of their impending demise, and it's a warning they did not heed. It's kind of like we oftentimes put wisdom and discernment aside and say, you know what, I'm going to do this my way. I got the solution. I know what to do. And how does that usually wind up? By the way, sometimes people say, well, you know, the Bible is just so big and you talk about all this wisdom and discernment. Is there sort of like a simple place to go get it? And I would suggest the book of Proverbs. Start there. It's like a chapter a day will take about 7 minutes, 31 days, and you're done. Just do one a day. And Jeremiah, of course, had a mother too. What's interesting, though, her name is not mentioned in the Bible, but here's what we do know. Without her and her unique DNA, there would not have been the Jeremiah that we know of today. Rick Warren, in his book Purpose Driven Life, by the way, if you have not read that book, I highly recommend you get a copy. It's an easy read. You don't have to be a theologian to understand anything it says. And according to Thrive News, has now sold over 50 million copies and has been translated into over 130 languages as of the recording of this podcast. I mean, all I can say is, wow. Rick says, you were made for a reason, and until you find out what your purpose in life really is, life won't make much sense. And if you think about it, I believe your purpose is also tied directly to your unique DNA, for it's in that DNA that God has also given you certain gifts of the Spirit. And when we talk about gifts of the Spirit, those are special abilities given to us by the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. And these gifts are not to be used for selfish purposes, like, you know, look what I can do that you can't do, but rather to build up the church and bring more people to Christ. The Bible has several lists of various gifts of the Spirit, and you can see them in Romans 12, 7, and 8. Quote, if it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. End quote. But that's not an exhaustive list of the gifts. And Rick Warren also goes on to say there may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. And what Rick is saying is that God has a specific purpose for you and for me, no matter what our backgrounds, no matter where we came from, no matter what we've ever done in our life, He has a specific purpose from this point forward. Before we go to what the Bible says about motherhood and what to do regarding our mothers, I want to touch briefly on the topic of some who ask, should Christians celebrate Mother's Day? I mean, after all, if you look at the roots of Mother's Day, the origin of Mother's Day, also known as Mothering Day in the United Kingdom, can be linked to ancient pagan rituals. Pagans are non-Christians, but the concept of Mother's Day has really gone through many changes and titles to become what it is today. The actual origins of Mother's Day can be found in ancient Greek festivals honoring Rhea. Now, she was the mother of the gods and goddess of female fertility, motherhood, and generation. So you say, now, wait a minute, Pastor, you're telling me that if I want to celebrate Mother's Day, that honoring my mother is actually like idol worship because I'm putting my mother before God? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm only giving you a brief history of where the concept of honoring mothers came from. And then, as you will see in a minute, what the Bible has to say. So, going back in history, early Christians in England observed a day to commemorate Mary, the mother of Christ. That was in the 1600s. The celebration then extended to honor all moms by a religious institution. Mothering Day is observed in the UK. That's on the fourth Sunday of Lent, and Lent is the 40-day period before Easter where people choose to give up something, like a certain food or activity, in the form of fasting, and the goal of Lent being to grow closer to the Lord as one prepares for the anniversary of Jesus' death and resurrection. Lent is the English word stemming from an Anglo-Saxon word for spring and related to the English word lengthen, hence we get the Lent season. And did you know that even though many Christians observe the Lenten season, there's no specific observation of Lent actually mentioned in the Bible? And there are no commands for Christians in the Bible regarding mandatory fasting or dietary rules. That's purely from the church and man-made tradition. And one other thing, Lent did not begin in biblical times. According to the Oxford Concise Dictionary of the Christian Church, Lent was first mentioned in AD 325. That's 325 years after the death of Jesus Christ on earth. Now, back to the U.S., Mother's Day, as we know, is observed annually on the second Sunday of May. We know the customary ways to commemorate moms on Mother's Day, like taking them out to dinner, cooking them a dinner, or giving them commemoration cards, flowers, chocolates, something special that you know she likes. There is nothing in the Bible that forbids us from setting aside a special day to celebrate our moms, so there's nothing to worry there. So let's see what the Bible says about motherhood. And there are actually four aspects of motherhood. First, there's conception, Genesis 4:1, where the Bible talks about Adam making love to his wife, Eve. And in Luke 1:24, where there's the mention of Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, becoming pregnant. The second thing the Bible talks about in reference to motherhood is pregnancy itself. 2 Samuel 11:5, where Bathsheba told David that she was pregnant from their adulterous affair. The third thing the Bible says about motherhood is the pain of childbirth. Genesis 3:16 says, "With painful labor you will give birth to children." And John 16:21 says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world." The fourth topic in the Bible about motherhood is nursing. 1 Samuel 1:23, "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. So as we can see, the Bible has a lot to say about what motherhood is. And before we take a look at what the Bible tells us to do regarding our mothers, I thought you'd find these letters amusing from little ones writing to their moms about Mother's Day. It's a brief collection of notes from young people. It's in the 6,000 plus illustrations for Communicating Bible Truths book. This is from Angie, who is age 8. Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. This one's from Robert, also age 8, from Portland, Maine. Mama got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle I got you this year for Mother's Day better than the snake I got you last year. And from Eileen, who is 9 years old from Baltimore. Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school. And this one from Diane, age 8, from Cincinnati. I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day, Mom. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith next door wasn't looking. Always interesting what 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds have to say, don't you think? Well, two more. This one from Billy, age 9. Dear Mom, Arthur and I promised not to fight all day for Mother's Day. Your son. And finally, this one from Carol, age 8, from Los Angeles. Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. So if you're a mom, you might have received something like that yourself over the years. Now, let's take a look at what the Bible tells us to do regarding our mothers. We can start by looking at the 5th commandment found in Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So the significance of honoring our parents, notably our mothers, is emphasized by this commandment. Respecting, being nice to, and loving our mothers is part of what it means to honor them. And we get a lovely description of a good lady who is a wife and mother in Proverbs 31, verses 26 to 28 in the NIV Bible that says, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." The life of Mary, Jesus' mother, also demonstrates the love and sacrifice of a mother. You know, despite the difficulties that came with it, Mary voluntarily accepted the responsibility of being the mother of God's Son. Jesus was born to her in a stable, and she reared him to be the world's Savior. The heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of Christians. In Galatians 4:26, we read, "But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother." Jesus spoke of his compassion for Jerusalem as being like that of a mother hen for her chicks in Matthew 23:37. Heavenly Jerusalem that Jesus is referring to is the New Jerusalem, also known as the Fourth Heaven. It's the holy city that descends from God in Revelation 21:2, where the Apostle John said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." The new Jerusalem is a garden temple where God dwells with his people and the glory of heaven fills the earth. And although the phrase New Jerusalem occurs in the Bible only at Revelation 3:12 and 21:2, what it talks about? A restored world in which God's chosen people will be secure is the fulfillment of the message of the Old Testament prophets and other early Jewish writings. The New Jerusalem will be the final earth where we dwell with God. Finally, what the Bible shows and tells us what to do is spoken by Jesus, where we see Jesus' treatment of his own mother demonstrating the value of mothers. Jesus told his disciple John that he was to take care of his mother while he was on the cross, saying, "Woman, here is your son," and adding, "Here is your mother." Jesus exhibited his love and concern for his mother even in his dying moments. And that chapter in John serves as a reminder of the value of taking good care of our moms, just as Jesus did for his own mother. Now, as I promised earlier, I'd like to tell you a brief story of what happened this past week, and it's a direct result of your financial support, your prayers for Treasure Top Ministries. I received a phone call from a man who had heard one of our radio messages. He stated that he was an Army veteran and now in his 70s, and he'd served 2 tours of duty in Vietnam. He told me that he recently lost his wife, who had passed on, and that he wants to be reunited with his wife. But the one question he had was, how do I know that I'm going to heaven for certain? I believe in Jesus Christ and I grew up going to church, but I'm not really totally sure I'm really going to go to heaven. Well, to make a long story short, we discussed that it is not enough just to believe in Jesus Christ. We must also accept Jesus in our hearts. James 2:19 in the Bible says, "You believe that there is one God." Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So we prayed the prayer of salvation that we will pray in just a minute, but without your financial support and prayers, that radio message may have never reached him, and he may have never gotten into heaven. That really is the power of your giving, being responsible for more people getting into heaven, and your prayers are just as important. So did you know that you get to choose where you are going to spend eternity? The choice is totally yours and no one can make it for you, only you. And if you haven't already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've strayed away and you want to renew your relationship with Christ, I'd like to lead you in this brief prayer. And you can repeat this prayer out loud or to yourself, or you can just say, "Me too, Lord." You see, we never know when our last day on earth alive will be. That's why it's so important to settle it right now, accept Christ now, because there are no do-overs, there are no second chances to accept Christ once we die a physical death, meaning there is no second chance to get into heaven. So just pray this, "Jesus, please come into my heart. I proclaim you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins." If you just pray that prayer and really mean it in your heart, congratulations. And would you let me know about it? Email me, john@treasuretop.com. That's john@treasuretop.com. I'd love to hear stories about people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that makes you my brother or sister in Christ. And you know what? One of these days, we might have a conversation in heaven. "Hey, you remember that radio message or that podcast that I heard? I'm in heaven because of you." And you can be the same way. Someone can be in heaven because of you. If you'd like to help us finance the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, you can go to our website, treasuretop.com, and press the Give button right there on the top menu. Or text the word "give" to this number, 844-553-1590. That's the word "give" to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can mail your gift. It's P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. That's P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. And I just want to say thank you for your prayers and any financial support. And by the way, you may know that no one at Treasure Top takes a salary. We do this for free. And I do want to say, if you are unable to give financial support, your prayers for Treasure Top are just as important. Would you pray for us that these messages will be responsible to help more people get into heaven? I'll preach a podcast soon on the importance of prayer. It has a tremendous impact in all of our lives. Now, if you'd like to be notified of our latest podcast episodes, click on the episode and press the word "subscribe." You can also share our podcast with friends or people you know who need an encouraging word. Just click on the podcast message and there you're going to see the word "share" next to the word "subscribe." Let's bow in prayer. Father, we come before you to honor our moms because you chose them to create each of us. And we do know for many, Mother's Day is a difficult day for a variety of reasons. And we ask you to comfort those with big heartaches today. And again, we also want to thank you for Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Father, please forgive us for the most ungracious things we say to those we love the most. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Until next time, it's Pastor John Haggard saying, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.